How aware are you?
You're probably aware that mammograms are a great way to detect breast cancer.
And that regular, moderate walking can be good for heart health.
But are you aware that the fifth most common cancer in the United States is uterine cancer?
And that the average age at diagnosis is 60?
Well, I definitely wasn't when I was diagnosed with endometrial cancer at the age of 32.
And that's exactly what inspired this podcast.
We are Mary and Alex, a mother-daughter duo engaged in multi-generational dialogue surrounding subjects related to gynecologic cancer, women's healthcare, and various other topics that impact our daily lives.
We are
Down There Aware.
Welcome back to another episode of Down There Aware. You know, at one point we could have said, oh, it's so hot in Florida. I hope everybody's staying cool. But it's actually so hot everywhere.
Yeah, plastic things are melting off houses and cars. And so drink your water and get as much air conditioning as you can.
Oh, thank good Lord for air conditioning.
Yeah, I feel bad for all the people like in the UK and all you Yankees who air conditioning may not be as common as it is in Florida. Mm. Grateful that it's everywhere here.
Yeah, well, for sure. Well, another week, another episode. And, you know, I was watching the Today Show. I like the Today Show.
That's not new.
And I saw this little segment about fake online medical reviews, and I was fascinated to watch and to hear about people actually pay, some doctors pay, I don't guess it's companies, it's probably individuals, but it's people who've chosen this line of work. They pay them to write fake reviews of their services, and those people have never seen them, they've never been treated by that particular doctor. And so they're getting paid to write something positive.
Just the concept, you know, we have gotten on our, Instagram for Down There Aware and our Facebook, we get like bots, I guess, who will message us and say, pay us $15 for 1,000 subscribers and $50 for 2,000, you know, all this stuff. And like, you just know, you know, it's a scam. Like, and I mean, maybe people do this. Maybe people, I'm sure they do, pay for subscribers and likes and things. And I find that incredibly disingenuous. And, you know, for us, I think the point of us creating the podcast wasn't to get thousands and hundreds of thousands and millions of subscribers.
No, it wasn't the purpose at all.
And I think that's the difference in us using social media and other people trying to make social media their life and their livelihood. Certainly we've seen it can be done, and there are plenty of people who do it honestly. But yeah, that's just really sad, especially doctors medical
you're
practices.
You're talking about your health.
Right.
And, that was really scary to me. And they did point out a few ways to tell if they're fake reviews. A lot of times these people, even though they're getting paid, are very lazy and they just copy and paste the exact same words for different practices. And even some are dentists and some are doctors, and they copy and paste the same review, which isn't really relevant all the time. You know, that they said to watch out for that. So anyway, we got to thinking, maybe we should just talk a little bit about how social media does or doesn't affect our medical decisions or our medical perspectives. Because social media is here to stay, it appears, and a lot of things have changed because of social media. So we thought we'd talk a little bit about that. We're going to post the link to that segment on the Today Show on our website, because it's a very interesting clip.
Well, and you know, it's interesting. Social media, I mean, like, you can go back and forth of when did it start and things like that. But I think we can mostly agree that in the early 2000s, with the onslaught of what was once known as the Facebook, you know, that kind of really kickstarted being connected on the internet with, at first it was just people at your university, and then it expanded to the general public and grew into the monster that we know it today. And then of course the offshoots with the Instagrams and the Twitters and the Pinterests and the TikToks and all this. And so like Mom said, it's here to stay, and it's continually evolving and changing. But I think one of the things that I have noticed is, I don't know that I would have been as aware of some things, medically speaking, if I wasn't on social media. I don't know if it's because I'm 35 or if because, I don't know, maybe just being a millennial in general, like that generation, I don't really watch the news. I don't have cable. And so if I'm watching TV, it's a streaming service. It's not, you know, live news or even local news, but I follow local, national, all kinds of news outlets on all of my social media platforms, so that I can get breaking news and things. And they post a lot of medical things that I have then followed up on, just like Mom talked about with the Today Show. They do segments all the time.
All the time.
And so, you know, for me as someone who connects with people and my friends and things, but I also use it as news media, you know, I think that's something that has happened in the last, I don't know, 10 years or so, moving from traditional watching the news or reading a newspaper to getting it on your phone or on your computer.
Well, I know a lot of people are kind of negative about social media because a lot of not so great things happen through social media. And I get that. And those things bother me just as much, like, you know, a bunch of negative posts on your Facebook or Instagram, and people who steal your identity and post fake things. You know, I just really don't get it. But those things go on. However, they're not going to keep me from the good things on social media, because there are a lot of good things. And like Alex said, one of those is you can find out about new and inventive, creative medical practices and treatments. And you can also follow people who have certain conditions that maybe you might have, or you know somebody who has them, and you are enlightened about how they're treated, you know, different new treatments or protocols from the doctor they're seeing. And so I think there's a place for it as far as informing us. You know, with anything, you just don't believe everything you hear and read. You really have to be responsible in researching for yourself, speaking to people you trust in the medical community before you make any big decisions. Unfortunately, I don't think everybody does that. But I think it's really important to take the good and don't let the bad run you off the social media sites.
Yeah. And I think, you know, the first thing I did after telling my family that I had been diagnosed with cancer was get on Facebook and look for a support group. And maybe I wasn't even searching for a support group, but I was just searching for other people who were in their 30s, who were experiencing something that I was told was a postmenopausal disease.
Because that was an anomaly.
Because it was an anomaly. And I was like, I can't be that weird. Like, I know I'm weird, but like, it can't be that weird. And, you know, that's when I came across the Peach page. And even prior to my cancer diagnosis, with all of the other things I have going on, I'm in, you know, support groups or friend groups or, you know, whatever, that are all focused on these conditions. And there is, like Mom said, you have to think critically and, you know, go through some chaff, if you will, before you can get to some really good, you know, little nuggets. But it's just nice to know that You're not alone. And I know mom has found that too with the parosmia page. Just knowing you are not experiencing something completely alone, that other people know how you feel, that other people have gone through the same thing. And because maybe, you know, it's a medical anomaly, because traditionally, like, my cancer is a postmenopausal cancer, generally speaking, but all of these other women who were in their 30s or in their, even in their late 20s, who not only were diagnosed with the same cancer I was, but they also had to make a choice of never carrying a child, because, you know, this happened to them, and what was more important in their life of getting rid of cancer or trying to have a baby or whatever it might be. And a lot of us have really just found a community in each other that just, we just understand what we're going through.
Well, and I think about when I was your age, the internet wasn't around, and how awesome it is that you can connect with people all over the world who, it's a fairly small percentage of young women who have been diagnosed with your type of cancer. You know, so you can connect with them and find out what they're thinking. Or does it kind of validate some of the things you're thinking? And I think so many times, growing up and then as a young bride and then a young mom, how awesome it would have been to have the internet, you know, for things that you could talk about your little nucleus of friends, talk about too, your little nucleus of friends and family. But that was about it, really, because there was nothing far reaching like it is now.
Well, and I think on the flip side of that, and we would be remiss if we didn't talk about it, I think we can also kind of get in an echo chamber, and there can be some negative effects of having people who either all have the same experience or all think the same, or, and we've seen that happen. But again, you just have to think critically and, you know, not fall for every single thing everybody says, because there are going to be people who, you know, have ill intentions, or people who are just uneducated who are trying to say that, oh, this magical thing works and this, you know, it's not real great. But I will say, so many of the interviews you've heard, so many of the, you know, not just people who have had uterine cancer, but Conquering Cancer, that whole campaign, both of our pelvic floor physical therapists who we talked to, all of these people came to us through social media.
Through social media. Yeah.
I mean, they either, I knew them from the Peach page, they found our Instagram account, they found our website. And then they reached out to us and said, hey, we want to get connected. We have similar missions and we have similar, goals. And, you know, we just think we can kind of cross, share with your platform and our platform and really work together. And we would not have, I mean, forget about even having a podcast, but like if this were back in the day, a traditional radio show, you think about the research team that would have to be involved and all of that, when it's just a simple email and boom, 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 we get connected. That's how we got connected with Morgan. You know, we found on social media an organization she was connected with, and they reached out to us, and we went back and forth a little bit, and they said, we have the perfect person for you. And Morgan was an amazing interview, and I'm so grateful to be connected to her. So there are some really, really great things about social media, but just like everything, you have to be cautious with it.
Well, and a lot of things do influence our decisions about our health and medical practice that we're involved in. But a really good one in regard to social media is if you follow doctors. So many doctors have an Instagram account now. And Mary Jennifer Markham, who we interviewed here, I don't know, a year or so ago, she has an Instagram, and I follow her, and I'm just always learning something. She did a whole series for, she's an oncologist at the University of Florida, Florida Health, I think it's called now, and used to be Shands. And she did a whole series about COVID and how her, well, any oncology patient could navigate through the pandemic being a cancer patient. And it was really so informative. But all of her Instagram is informative. She, you know, she references articles that other doctors have written. And so in talking about social media and how it affects our decisions in our medical decisions, you know, I think about the doctors who I follow on Instagram, and I just am continually learning new things.
I think it really started with the onslaught of TikTok and the popularity of TikTok, that I follow so many doctors on TikTok, and you know, some of it is like Dr. Pimple Popper and things like that that I have watched, you know, on YouTube or have watched on TV. But then I found myself, and you know, if you are a TikTok user, you know that the algorithm puts you on a side of TikTok. You know, you can kind of get in a hole of like-minded creators. But I, you know, found myself on like nutrition TikTok and even surgery, where a doctor would talk about various kinds of surgery that he had done and different complications from different procedures. And then there's just, you know, your generic, especially around the time of COVID, a lot of people were coming out and talking about, you know, talking about the vaccine and like scientifically how it worked and how it was created. And as much as you can in 1 to 3 minutes, give details about something or, you know, give a little slice of a lecture or lesson, about a topic. It's just really fascinating that, doctors are at our fingertips now. And I don't necessarily think I would ever like in, I don't know, my annual checkup with my GP, be like, so can you talk to me about how mRNA vaccines work and how, you know, why this is a good choice for me or why this wouldn't be a good choice for me? And, but here a doctor who has this experience, who has this education, is taking time to sit down and share with millions of people, but to share their knowledge. And it's just, you know, with the onslaught of the internet, everything is at our fingertips, and even more so, experts are, you know, in your phone.
Well, I think that's one of the greatest things about social media, because like you said, when you go in to see your doctor, they're going to be very specific about why they're seeing you, whether it's a regular well checkup or if you have an issue. And their time is limited, and they only have a certain number of minutes they can deal with you. But if you follow doctors on TikTok, like you said, you can find out so many other things that there's no way your appointment would ever cover. And I've found the same thing with, I follow one of our local hospitals on Facebook, and I'm so impressed with their marketing team and how they take different departments and talk about what the staff in those different departments do. And of course, I've been in hospitals enough that I know it takes an army, and they're all kinds of folks with all kinds of skills and skill levels to make that hospital successful. But when you see it in front of you and you hear it explained, it gives you, I think, a better appreciation and understanding for what goes on when you're there. And if you happen to be visiting somebody or going to an appointment at a hospital and you have to take a different elevator because something's not working on a certain floor or whatever, I think you have a bit more patience because you understand all of the wheels that have to be turning just perfectly to make things work. And I think it helps everybody just chill a little bit.
Well, and if you've never been in a hospital for any length of time, whether as a visitor or as a patient, you know, you might get your idea of what a hospital is from television or movies, and they focus on doctors and nurses, and sometimes you get some administration, like high level administration, but rarely do you see you know, the care team that is working or the nutrition team that comes and takes the meal orders or and it's interesting. In some of the medical shows we've watched, Mom and I have said, like, no doctor would do that. Like, that's a job for the CNA, or that's a job for I'm trying to think of the other initials that people are in a hospital, but, you know, for the support staff. Mm-hmm. But of course, on a television show, they're not going to pay an extra to come and do something when this actor can just do the same thing. But it's fascinating that, you know, if you haven't spent time in hospitals, you may not know. So it is really cool that our local hospital is highlighting different departments and talking about their specialties and what they do. And then also, I think it helps to build, you know, confidence in your staff to say, yeah, I'm a part of this hospital. It's not just the doctors. It's not just the nurses. It's not just, you know, the administration. But one of the things they just posted included like the laundry people. Mm-hmm. I mean, think about every time someone moves in a bed, they have to change it. You know, and sometimes it's between patients, sometimes it's the same patient, and that's a lot of, I mean, hundreds and hundreds of beds. That's a lot of laundry. So yeah, all of those kinds of support positions are really important, and I wouldn't know about them or really have highlighted them, you know, for any length of time without social media.
You know, another great thing about social media, and it's kind of an offshoot of the medical decision making, but kind of after, when people either set up GoFundMe pages or set up information about, once someone dies, about charities or places where that person was involved, and they're saying, if you want to give money, you can give to those in their memory. It'd be hard if you're far away from where you grew up or where you went to school, and you know, you are in touch maybe with Christmas cards once a year or something with these people, but not on a regular basis. But you want to honor somebody, it'd be hard to get that information if it weren't for social media. And I've been grateful for a lot, especially having been a career teacher. I have so many former students who I like to know how they're doing and what's going on with them. And I've just had the privilege of connecting and reconnecting with several of my hundreds of my students, through social media. And I really appreciate that.
Yeah. There are platforms like Caring Bridge that several of my friends and family have used during, you know, difficult times. And sometimes they're terminal diagnosis and, you know, you're walking through end life. And then other times it's miraculous healing and you're walking through that season with them. I have a friend from college who we lost touch after college. I mean, that was almost 15 years ago. And, you know, she has a family and has moved out of Florida. But she was recently diagnosed, several months ago, diagnosed with an aggressive form of leukemia. And she posts almost every single day on her Caring Bridge. And it's been fascinating to follow along. And because I don't know much about leukemia, I don't know much about the treatments. It's very different than other kinds of cancer and the cancer that I've been diagnosed with. And just being able to be connected and reconnect over something like that has been really cool. And it's just something that, you know, without social media, I wouldn't even know that was something going on in her life. Mm-hmm. And I wouldn't even know that, you know, I might think about her, you know, I wonder if she's coming to the reunion or whatever, but not even know any of the details. And, but it also provides you an opportunity to share what you're comfortable with. Because I know that, like, for me and Mom, we're very open about our medical situations and surgeries and things. I've gotten, we're actually recording this, right around the time that it's the third anniversary of my diagnosis and, surgery. And so all of my Facebook memories for the past mm-hmm. week have been, you know, leading up to the surgery and this, that, and the other. And so we're very open and we post a lot and other people don't. I had a friend who I taught with, back in Orlando who a couple months ago mentioned something about being diagnosed with stage 4 pancreatic cancer. And then last week, there was a post that she had passed. So, there's, you know, varying levels, but I think it's nice that we get to control that on our own social media.
And I think that really is the key, that we can control it and not only control what we put out there, but control what we read and what we pay attention to and who we follow. And so I think it's clear, Alex and I see a lot of good things about social media as far as their effects on our medical decisions. But clearly, we also know that we have to be careful. We have to be selective about what we listen to. And once we hear something, it's the onus is on us to research and talk to our own doctors who know us better than somebody online to make decisions. I'm personally grateful for social media. And again, I just don't let the negative turn me off to it, because I feel like I get a whole lot more out of it than what gets sucked out of me.
Yeah, I agree. And I think that if we just remember that we need to think critically, there are no magic pills. And to, you know, remember that social media is a part of that, and you have to be wary. And like those fake reviews for doctors, you know, you can't always trust what's online. It doesn't make it true just because it made it to the internet. A lot of people are out there for nefarious reasons, unfortunately. But all of that aside, I agree. Social media has been really kind of a blessing in terms of helping me get through, you know, some difficult times to talk with people who knew what I was going through and who could relate. And, you know, and we still stay in touch, you know, even though it's been 3 years, I'm still on the Peach page and commenting on people who, because we get new members every day, commenting on people's posts, you know, who have gone through similar situations or who are asking questions about things that I have gone through. And so, it's a place where we can be there for one another. And as long as we remember to do so as cautiously as you would meeting new people in person.
Yeah. And we'll put on our website some of our favorite places to go on social media to find things out and people to follow. I love it when doctors post about other doctors so I can add to who I follow. So we'll put all of that on our website and hope that you'll get a whole lot out of it just like we have.
Thanks so much for listening to today's episode. As always, you know, we are talking about social media. So if you don't already, you should give us a like or a follow or whatever else you can do on any of social media platforms. We're on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, Pinterest, TikTok, all the things. You can also find us by emailing us if you have anything you want to share, downthereaware@gmail.com, or visit our website. Mom's mentioned a couple times of all the great content that you can find there from all of our past episodes, including today's, and that is downthereaware.com. Thanks for listening.